The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Comedian Jason Byrne, good morning.
Oh, how are you? Thanks for letting us in.
Thanks for coming in. Now, Jason, I suppose the story begins, let's start, just before the pandemic.
Yeah.
You were thinking of giving up comedy. Why?
Well, before the pandemic, I was got... Because comedy is, it can be very stressful. Do you know what I mean? And it's very hard. And I've been doing it for 25 years.
And still stressful, yeah?
Yeah, because it's not like a band where like you can come out and do the greatest hits. If you do the great hits in comedy, people go, oh, we heard that last time. Can't do that. So every time you have to write a brand new show for each tour, and then you travel around each town, and I literally just kind of went, oh God, I don't want to do this anymore. You know what I mean? Maybe I might do a few gigs in my own country,
yeah,
but the whole big traveling. And then I met a friend of mine in Edinburgh, Colin Cloud is his name, and he's a forensic mind reader. He's like a Darren Brown now. Do you know him?
Okay.
Or Durden.
A mentalist.
Yeah, he's a mentalist, yeah, that kind of thing. So he did kind of forensic profile and all that kind of stuff. And I sat with him in Edinburgh and said, what do you think of this? I'd like to maybe go back to college and do, like, I don't know, psychotherapy or philosophy or something. And he went, no. And he just kind of slowed me down. He went, no, don't do this. He said, you have, the problem with you right now is that you've been doing stand-up for 25 years. And he said, you're just too good at it, he said, right? And you know, us Irish people, with compliments, has gone, no, boy, no, what? And he goes, yeah, and your brain is just too used to doing the same thing. So you're trying to jump out of that and change to something else, get your brain firing. So he said, look, don't go to college, he said, because he's like, whatever, you're nearly 50 now. So like, you're good at what you do. He says, mix the mental health stuff that you're interested in into your life stuff and into your career. Instead of pushing the career away, use the career to actually sell the whole mental health thing. And what he was saying to me was that I was going, am I depressed? Or like, you know, I literally didn't know what was happening to me. He was going, no, you're what we call mentally fatigued. Your brain is just can't take it anymore. The constant bashing of traveling and gigging and writing and making sure, like, and every gig has to be as good as the last gig. Can you imagine? So like, there's no let up at all. And you're on your own. You can't look to your band members. Do you know what I mean? And go, here, you take over tonight. It's just you, you know? And so he said, it's just mental fatigue. So you just need to now maybe just manage that a bit more.
Yeah. And of course, then you got a break then, didn't you, with the pandemic?
I automatically went, oh, I didn't mean that.
I
would have liked a different type of break.
And
so,
I suppose people would have an idea that someone like you could, a year out, that you would have resources built up and that you'd be okay with a year not working. But
loads of people think that when you're on the telly, you're wealthy. Do you know what I mean? When they see on the telly, they go, oh, he's mint. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, so I had to basically, it's been nearly a year and a half with no income at all. Do you know what I mean? So I've had to live off the savings and stuff like that and dig into that. So this is the whole, where I was lucky was I'd been to therapy quite a lot and stuff. You know, I'd used therapy and I had the tools.
Had you, what kind of therapy?
Well, just going to therapy, just like, it wasn't any specific therapy. Do you know what I mean? It was just going to my therapist, and because of, basically my dad had passed away, do you know what I mean? And
that was in February
before it happened.
Sorry to hear that, yeah.
Yeah, no, and so that happened, and then, of course, the pandemic hit, and it was just like, and I spoke
to... Was your dad dying a hard kind of a blow?
Yeah, it was, but like a lot of people listening in, like, because dad was like 81, and it was... And this is something you might hear a lot, but it was a kind of a pleasure to be there when he died, because I held his hand and I watched him. I watched him like leave. So anybody, if you can be with your loved ones when you pass away, it's an amazing, beautiful thing, because you're with them. And I didn't know what to do, but the doctors just said just keep talking to him. And then he could see the life leaving his body. And it was amazing because you could feel this energy in the room. Like, I can't explain it. And something just kind of came past us, and we were, me and my mom and all were all there, and you could just see life leaving him. So because of that reason, and I seen that with my own eyes, that just proved how important life is. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, how amazing and how fragile life is.
Listen, can I just ask you about that moment, though, which I would think must be a devastating moment, but the way you're saying it, it sounds in a way that it was a peaceful, beautiful kind of moment.
Yeah, it was. I mean, a brilliant philosopher, Alan Watts, says we should always celebrate death. You know what I mean? It's certain death. You know, obviously there's different types. But that one was a man who lived till he was 80, 81, and he had a great life. Do you know what I mean? He really did. Yeah. And my dad as well, because he had that personality, he would have said to us, you know, if he was beside us, you know, as a spirit, he would have went, now, no crying and no fussing. Yeah. Don't be fussing and crying, all right? Just say goodbye and get out of here, right? So that's what it was. I knew what was happening to him. And it was a peaceful thing. Do you know what I mean? To see him go like that, because he had a stroke. We were always telling him, don't be smoking, Dad, please don't be smoking all the time. And he goes, oh, I'll be awesome, sure, whatever. Even now, he would have still gone, I'm still having a fag and a bit of whiskey. You're not going to stop me. He's still setting his ways. But with this, he died. Basically, he only lasted 2 days because he had a massive stroke. Then he had loads more, obviously, and then he died, right?
Mm.
And then a lot of people, they did that Irish thing going, it was good that he went like that, you know what I mean? Because he wouldn't want to have come home like that. And here's the great thing, because there's a lot of people at home listening in now that do live with stroke victims, that are severe stroke victims that live in their houses. And they are very sick. But the one thing I said to people was, you know, it was another part of me that still would have loved to have him at home. Mm. Even if he couldn't speak or anything, he could still see, you know, it was like, so it's still that kind of way, even though it's a horrific thing to go. So I had all that going on, and the therapy really helped. And I was doing a podcast called Mind Your Load.
What did you get out of we'll get to the podcast now. Sorry. What did you get out of therapy?
Well, I had gone into therapy. I was very Irish about it.
Yeah.
And you'll often hear this, that when you go to therapy, you're afraid the crack will be taken out of you.
Yeah.
So you go in and then we go, will it still be funny? And like, well, I'm not, and they're going, no, it's not. So I went in to the therapist and I said, like, what do you do? And she said, well, you're already doing it. And I went, what? Well, talking. And I went, what? Oh, and then I went on and on. And then she's...
I went on and on.
Yes, on and on.
That's a great Irish description of therapy. I went in and I went on and on.
I went on and on and on. But again, I didn't really know how it works. And she said, now don't think I'm going to be solving any of your problems here. Because I thought that's how therapy worked. You brought all your problems, the therapist fixed them, and they gave you an equation and off you went.
Yeah.
But it's not the way it goes. And so I went, what? And she says, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you how to sit in your own problems. That's not the word she used. But anyway, so you can sit in your own what's it.
Yeah.
And that's how you do it. With therapy, you, of all the different things that are happening in your life, it just teaches you how to manage them. You know, so there's no problem going in. All walks of life should just go in and try it. I think it's number one. It's really, really good. It helped me so much. And so when the pandemic came in and kicked in, I had all these different tools of how to cope with, like, not panicking or losing the head or, you know what I mean? I just started to cope with all my problems, you know what I mean? Separating them out and just trying to...
Like, amazing. You've got the answer.
I don't have the answer. No, there's no answer. But my dad's answer was, if you worry, you die. If you don't worry, you die. And he says, so why worry? So he's like, you know, there's no point in losing the plot. But of course... Yeah, so
all of this together then kind of pushed you into, and I think the idea of the podcast as well was that, like, not everyone can afford the luxury of therapy. So a lot of people do use podcasts, self-help books, whatever,
So my therapy, even I even had to ease off on it because, and my therapist, fair play, she was going, look, just pay me when you can. I could probably see her on the phone even it was every 6 weeks or so. Because it can be 80 to 100 quid or something like that. You know, it's very, very dear. And loads of people just go, no. I got messages online saying, look, I just can't afford to go to therapy. So thanks for doing the podcast. And the podcast was, I was almost schooling myself. I said, I'm going to bring all these people in with all these fantastic knowledge to me. So I brought in like a neuroscientist, Paul Moore from Trinity College. And he was just great. I was like a kid with him. You know what I mean? Going, your brain does not do that. He goes, it does. I go, what? You serious? I found fascinating stuff from him. Professor Rory O'Connor, who was who'd studied suicide in Edinburgh University for 25 years. And he was amazing because I said we never spoke about this on the podcast. That was the one thing we didn't want to speak about. And he was going, that's so common, Jason. Loads of people don't want to speak about the suicide thing.
Yeah.
And he said... And I said, what do you, one thing I learned from that, he says, what, I said, what do you do? Should you, because when we mention that, we think we're going to trigger people.
Mm.
And he goes, that's not true. He says, that doesn't happen. He says, we found that it's best to talk to people and ask them outright, is that something that might happen in their life?
Yeah.
And then another trick he said with younger people is ask them to ask people in their class, are they okay? Which I thought was great. So instead of you asking them directly, you say to your son or daughter, why don't you ask a friend in their class if they're okay? He goes, oh yeah, yeah, I'll do that. When it could be them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they'll come back and say, actually, they're not feeling great. So, but they're talking about themselves.
Okay.
So loads of different walks of life. It's called Mind Your Loaf, and that's on Spotify and iTunes. Mark Cusack is she's my co-host, and she was she's a psychotherapist as well.
And I believe your philosophy is move, breathe and laugh. So this is not all po-faced. Is there anything better for mental health than having a laugh, really, isn't it? Because that's when we transcend a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard Dr. Viktor Frankl. He did a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And he was
Viktor Frankl.
And he was in the concentration camps. And he said the one thing that kept them all going was humour. Which is brilliant.
Yeah.
And he just said that, they were in there and they were really sick and everything, but they'd be slagging each other. And that's behind the Germans, SS officers and all. And that made them live just a bit longer.
Yeah.
And if you ever noticed when you're laughing, whenever you're laughing, whatever's happening to you at that moment, you forget about it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So, you're in it, actually. You're completely in it, aren't you?
So I'm trying to bring this festival now together where, we call it Mind Your Loaf Festival. It's on mindyourloaf.com where you get the tickets. And the idea is that it's not going, because we're all kind of, oh my God, we're listening to it, but we're hearing the word mental health for a year and a half. So it kind of wrecks our heads. We're kind of going, oh my God, I'm sick of hearing that word. And my dad used to say, mental health. He'd say, sure, it's healthy to be mental. So my dad said, right, we'll have a healthy mental day instead of a mental health day.
Okay. And there's all kinds of people from different kind of areas, really, isn't it?
Yeah, there's all walks of life. So I got, ex-people who came on Mind Your Loaf podcast, other friends of mine, and all of these talkers, and they're all total professionals in what they do. You'd pay a fortune to try and go and see them on their own. But they've all pitched in together. And the idea is the tickets are 25 quid, but it's so cheap. And we could get if you got, five people on a computer, that's only a fiver, right? Mm. So do the Irish thing. Just pay for the link and then send it to a load of your mates, right? But the idea is to make this cheaper and cheaper as I go on. Do you know what I mean? So to make, it's like therapy online. That'll be almost free. So the more sponsorship I get in, Gallagher's Bakehouse, they were the first ones to throw money in to help us so we could immediately bring the ticket price down. So when I go and do it again, I'm going to keep doing that. And then the idea is to try and get some sort of drop-in centre that I can eventually have for people with mental health problems.
Okay, so this is a movement we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, I've got so many people behind it that are interested in doing it. So it's, can you imagine a drop-in centre like our cancer do that? It's where if you go in and you'll have free therapy in there, or you can sit in there with like-minded people. And, we could eventually get there. We could definitely do that.
Okay, well done. In terms of your own survival mechanisms, I see here, I'm waiting for somebody to come in and tell me here that they don't swim in the sea at this stage. Now we have someone who doesn't swim in the sea. What's that like? You're swimming in the sea?
Well, no, I know. Okay, so this will happen to me. I go down to Port Marnock in the morning. Again, it's great with the mental health to be around like-minded people. And Port Marnock at 5:30 in the morning is great fun. There's loads of different people down there from all walks of life. And we get in the sea for I get in for about 3 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Kind of swishle around and get back out again. Because I don't like swimming out in my depth. Because my arm fell off in Australia when I was swimming in surfing.
Tell me about that.
I was with Des Bishop.
Yeah.
And I'm just a nightmare. I'm accident prone because I'm too nervy. They always say you should go for it. That's safer. But kind of hold them back. A wave was coming towards me and Des. Des, he's like, yo, man, go through it. Jump through it. And I was going, what? All arms sprayed out. The wave dunked me, spun me around, and my arm was dislocated when I stood up. Des, being a great friend of mine, was trying not to laugh. Because my arm was hanging off. He's going, oh man, your arm. So went off. We found a doctor on an Australian just up the road in a house, and I was standing there with my arm hanging off, and they're so used to that. The doctor was still eating his dinner while he was popping my arm back in. He's going, oh man, that's all right. Just get your arm, pop it back in. So I don't like swimming out of my tent.
Yeah, so you got your fright there, yeah.
Yeah, big time.
Well, they do say, the water safety people do say people shouldn't swim out of their depth anyway.
Unless you're a really good swimmer or you're with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, but that's more about a kind of a sociability vibe thing at half 5 in the morning.
It's like a men's shed thing. You know, it's just getting together and we have our tea afterwards and we just cry laughing with and they all have their own problems. Do you know what I mean? And they bring them all together in one spot.
Yeah. And then, like a lot of people are now as well, you're running away from your problems as well.
Yeah, running away, I do that. If I have a really bad day, I'll get the runners and I'll just leg it. And that's brilliant because I spoke to the neuroscientist, Paul Moore. I asked him at the end of my interview, I says, what's the key thing you should do? He said, well, exercise and diet. He says, I know whatever. He says, but that's actually a chemical thing in your head. He says, that'll help you. He says, you know, walking or moving anyway is really good. And he says, and make sure you don't eat any processed food, he said. But he did say this thing. He says, one of the best things for your head is meditation. And again, here we are in Ireland. Do what? I love when you tell the Irish people, you know, just do your breathing. And they're going, well, I am breathing. If I wasn't breathing, I'd be dead.
Yeah.
And so he taught us all, he was teaching us all that stuff.
Got into Wim Hof as well, I feel Wim Hof is another guy who's really taken off in the pandemic, hasn't he? Which is kind of more extreme breathing techniques, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we have Claire Walsh is going to be coming on soon enough there.
Yeah.
She's that free diver, and that comes from there. I think that Wim Hof does that real fast breathing to fill your lungs with oxygen.
Yeah.
But that's a type of meditation, but a lot of, and I would say the way I found it, because people are saying, trying to get me to meditate. And I said, well, what do you do? They says, well, first of all, you lie down and you empty your brain. And I was going, the minute someone says that to me, it fills with stuff. I'm going, I can't do that.
Yeah.
So I have to have guided meditation. And Wim Hof does that on a thingy. You can just listen. You don't have to get into an ice bath to do his thing.
Okay,
you can just
lie
down and listen. And there's loads of other heads on YouTube. You can just lie down and listen. But it's just nice. And then people are saying to me, but I suppose, you know, it's really good to get men talking because women do a lot of talking. And I says, yeah, but to be honest, not a lot of men like talking. Like, their meditation is just sitting quietly on their own, to be left alone. So my dad, if he had a problem, we could just see him. He'd stand up quietly. He'd light the fag, go out the back into the shed. You'd hear the radio going on. And then 2 hours later, he'd come back out and whatever was going on was solved.
Yeah. You see, we used to criticise Irish men for being emotionally distanced and all that. It turns out what they were doing was meditating and they were being stoic.
Absolutely.
And that's all back in now. Yeah.
My dad was like a monk out in that shed. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's all you... And there's so many men
listening. A monk with
in.
Fags and whiskey.
There's men in right now looking at the wife going, you see, leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I'll be all right. I don't have to get in the bath or shiver or go swimming or run or meditate.
Now, listen, you mentioned Claire Walsh is one of the people who's involved in the festival, the Mind Your Low Festival. And Claire is actually on the line now. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Claire. Thanks. So, Claire, you hold several Irish free diving records. Maybe just explain to the uninitiated first, what is free diving?
Yeah, of course. So free diving is the sport of holding your breath underwater. And I know when I say it like that, you kind of think, why would anyone do it? But there are so many benefits to it, aside from being absolutely incredible.
Okay. And do you dive down deep?
Yeah. So there are a couple of disciplines. So you can hold your breath lying flat on the surface. And that discipline is measured in time. So how long you can hold your breath for. And then there's depth disciplines, which is how far you can go under surface of the water.
Okay, so I need to know, so how long can you hold your breath in the water for and how deep can you go?
I'm having panic attacks over here.
So I can hold my breath for 5 minutes, 59 seconds, which is the length of Bohemian Rhapsody, so it's a good marker. So next time you hear that song, that's what you're going to think
of.
Okay,
so try and hold my breath for the whole song and see how I go.
Yeah, I love it. My brother-in-law texted me a little while ago and he said... Bohemian Rhapsody's just come on. I've had a shower, I've had a shave, I've made my porridge, and the song's still on. So it gives you an idea how long the song is, obviously.
And do you dive down deep?
So I dive 59 meters. As you can see, I have a bit of an issue with sixes at the
you
moment.
You can't get there, can you?
Oh my God.
Those blasted sixes.
Hey, Claire, can I ask Claire, yeah. Claire, do you sing that song when you're going down?
Do you know what? That's probably not a bad idea. Except I'd be giving it loads when it got to the guitar solo.
So come here, that is extraordinary. No, obviously I'm completely freaked out by it, like, because you're down there with no equipment or anything, you're 60 metres under the water. You'd really
59
meters. Sorry. I was talking about a really good free dive. 60
down. Brandon, it's 59.
They'll be looking up at you. Yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah,
they're waving up at me.
So listen, I presume that the main challenge there is the head as well as the body. Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like free diving is such a mental sport. So much, as I was explaining to Jason yesterday, you know, it's a really physical sport. You have to learn how to hold your breath. You have to protect your lungs, your ears, and so on. But for me, that's just a small percentage of it. So much of it is building an awareness with your mind. And you know the way, like, if you're having a crap time on land, as they call it, or a normal day life, you can distract. Whether that's through, you know, bad coping mechanisms, being on your phone, listening to music, lots of things. Underwater, it's just you and your head and your thoughts.
Oh,
so
yeah.
To be able to go to that depth, you kind of have to face what's going on in your head, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, so you have to be really comfortable with yourself, don't you? Yeah, it's just you and yourself down there. And I believe for you, you had a period of kind of bad mental health, and that the free diving was the thing that kind of brought you out of it, yeah?
Yeah, like all throughout my 20s, I would have dealt with mental illness on quite a severe level. And like that, I'm laughing at the suggestion of mindfulness and meditation. I was encouraged for years to do meditation, to do mindfulness, and sure, like a lot of Irish people, I ran from it.
Mm.
I kind of preferred the go, go, go approach. And shocker, that doesn't always work. So in my early 30s, I found free diving, and it appeals to my competitive nature. But to get good at free diving, you have to do mindfulness. You have to develop a mindful practice to meditate. So kind of free diving was the dangling carrot. And suddenly I found all these practices. And now I do them without free diving.
Yeah. It's funny what you say. Isn't it true, Jason, that like, so everywhere we hear, meditation is like a superpower, and you don't have to believe in it. You don't have to, just do it and it will work. But we're incredibly resistant to it for some reason, aren't we?
It's just not our culture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you'll hear like a lot of people saying, have you seen like different countries doing really well with the vaccine or the line? But that's a different culture. That's what they're dealing with. Do you know what I mean? And the Irish, meditation was never our thing. Do you know what I mean? That's just, that comes like from China. It's like thousands and thousands of years old.
But then when you think of people mumming the Angelus and mumming the prayers together at Mass and everything, there is an element of Mongolian throat singing or some kind
of,
you know.
We think it's like pagan or like monks. And no, we can't. It's a different religion. We can't be doing that. But of course, Mass is a meditation, we're all kind of chanting the prayers out, and a major meditation in the Irish is the rosary. Do you know what I mean? That's the same thing as monks sitting there chanting.
Yeah.
But it's the great thing about it is, I found a meditation is you just feel amazing straight after it. You know, the breathing, it's a chemical thing. The oxygen goes in, fill the body, you relax, and then afterwards you're like going, oh my God, why did I not do that all the time?
Yeah. Claire, I presume as well as the challenge and everything, is there a kind of an ecstatic feeling as well to being down there kind of?
I'm laughing because I have my favourite picture of myself is when I came up from my first national record dive. Like, there's no makeup, there's no filters. I probably have a bit of snot splattered across my face, but I am ecstatic. My smile would split my face. I'm so happy. There's such a sense of achievement. And, you know, we're talking about meditation, but the kind of the sister of that is mindfulness. Each journey or each meter down and back up, you're completely in the moment. So when you complete that journey, it's explosive in a really calm way. Adversely, it's it's a pretty amazing.
Yeah, I bet. No, we should warn people who are thinking, oh, I'm going to head out to Bray now and do a bit of free diving. Yeah. It's an incredibly dangerous sport, and you need to know what you're doing, don't you?
I'll put in a little safety caveat, as I always do. Wim Hof is actually quite different to free diving breath hold. So instead of breathing really quickly, we breathe really slowly, because hyperventilating with free diving and then taking it into water is really dangerous.
Okay.
And you never, ever dive alone, and you never dive without proper instruction.
And listen, are you leaving out a slight bit of breath for the 559? Is that how it's working? You, every now and again, you just leave a bit go, yeah?
Say that again?
Is it that, like, you take one big breath, down you go, and then are you letting it out slowly over the course of 6 minutes in bits and pieces?
No, no, we hold it in the whole time.
Oh my God.
So we don't let it go at all.
Okay, okay.
And so you don't panic. I mean, that's what's so mad. So all the Irish people are going, I'd like freak out when I was down there.
To be honest, I have the heebie-jeebies even talking about this. Like, and my ears are practically sore thinking about being down there as well.
Claire, is free diving, does it count if you touch the deep end in a swim pool on the ground and back
absolutely
up again?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay,
absolutely. Give a few national records as well.
That's 7 foot then.
By the way, Claire, we were talking to Colm Henry earlier there, and he was talking about that how long COVID is a real threat to young people. You have long COVID, I believe.
I do indeed, unfortunately.
And how bad is it?
Oh, it's brutal, to be honest with you. I'm at the 6 month mark at the moment, and it's really tough going. And I think, you know, I had lots of plans for freediving last year, and then for this year, I was actually to return training mid-January, but I had COVID. So I stayed in Ireland, and the tricky thing for me is it's hard to build momentum. So I had a great couple of weeks there and then crashed the last kind of 10 days. So fatigue is a really big thing. Muscle ache, joint pain, brain fog. So it's physically tough, but mentally it's really exhausting.
And are you getting any better, do you sense?
I always say tentatively yes, because it can change really quickly. I got a little bit, I suppose, ahead of myself. I had a great burst of energy a little while ago, and I started working with a trainer, and I was back swimming out in Greystones most mornings. And then 10 days ago, I just crashed.
Okay. Jeez, that's rough. Okay, well, listen, Claire, great to talk to you, and good luck with
thanks
that.
Thanks so much.
And so Claire will be talking at that, among lots of other people, and the show is live streamed on Saturday the 3rd of July, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m, Jason, but it'll be up on the website for a week afterwards if you can't watch live. Tickets €25, all information on mindyourloaf.com.
Yeah.
Well done with that, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, thanks a million, and Claire's brilliant there. And also, to say, alone.ie, some of the donations are going to them as well.
Okay, super. Text here. Brendan, it's lovely to hear the real Jason. Much calmer and happier sounding. Okay, we
take a break.
That's
the meditation.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.